ethos, logos, and pathos. How to connect with an audience. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips. This is episode number 225, and today is the second edition of a series based on this book I'm showing you on the video, The Heart of Communication, How to Really Connect with an Audience by Rob Parsons, on a Kindle, therefore I can't show you the physical book. Last week we talked about the significance of connecting, and this week we're beginning the series to talk about the detail of what that means. And the first part is to talk about ethos, logos, and pathos. And what's all that about? Well, let me share that with you today, and hopefully you'll find this helpful in growing in how to connect with those to whom you're speaking. As he quotes in the book from Alexander Gregg, there are three things to aim at in public speaking. First, to get into your subject. Then, to get your subject into yourself. And lastly, to get your subject into the heart of your audience. That's the process. So this week we're going to talk about three aspects of speaking that Aristotle called ethos, logos, and pathos. Let's start with ethos. Quoting, ethos is a Greek word meaning character. In the context of public speaking, it answers the question, is this person worth listening to? Or what right do they have to give this talk? So we speakers should never take it for granted that our audience wants to listen to us or believe in us personally, considering this is not a matter of dealing with our insecurities, like we're trying to bolster our own self-esteem, but more a matter of helping our audience to be able to relax and absorb what we're talking about. Take the Apostle Paul as an example. He gave himself some credibility when he was speaking to fellow Jews in Jerusalem. In Acts 22, verse 3, he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. So what is he doing there? He's establishing his credibility to be able to speak to his listeners, and then they will actually pay attention. He's not boasting. He's just connecting through that sense of credibility. So what Rob talks about in the book is that you may want to have different kinds of introduction in different contexts. If you're talking to a congregation who know you well, you may have to do this only very rarely, if ever. But if you're invited to speak somewhere else where people don't know you so well, this becomes significant. You may have somebody else introduce you, but there may also be a place for you to say something about yourself. If you're talking to a secular, if you like, group as opposed to a church congregation, your introduction might be a little bit different. But nonetheless, it's good to think through what kind of information might you want to give your audience so that they will know, okay, well, we'll at least give him the benefit of the doubt and listen for a while to figure out whether he's saying something useful, because he does sound like he knows what he's talking about. Perhaps the only significant caveat is to not overdo it. Don't be boastful. Don't go over the top. Don't exaggerate. If you do, someone is going to Google you and say, that sounds a bit fishy. Did he or she really do that? And they'll Google you and find out that you didn't. And that's going to be rather embarrassing. So don't exaggerate, go over the top. It can be a little embarrassing if you've been introduced with less than accurate information. I was abroad one time speaking, and the person introducing me, very well-meaning, did a nice, friendly, warm introduction, but unfortunately also accorded me all kinds of qualifications that I certainly did not have. A little embarrassing. I think I was given a master's when I didn't have one, or possibly even a PhD. I can't remember now, it's a long time ago, but that's not very helpful, obviously. So if someone is introducing you, make sure they've got the correct information well in advance. So that's your ethos. Secondly, let's talk about logos. Logos is about making an appeal to logic or reason, utilized in such a way as to make a compelling argument. Rob says this in the book. It means constructing a persuasive argument, organizing your various points in a sequence, with each point building on the previous one, and might involve giving facts, citing authorities on a subject, using historical and literal analogies, explaining a text, or some statistics. Now, some of us, you or I, may respond better to different kinds of approaches in the way that people speak. Perhaps you don't respond so well to arguments from logic. Some people do, some people don't. So for some people, it connects more than for others. And we need to bear this in mind, because if you and I, let's say, if you are not the kind of person who particularly responds to logic, your lessons are quite likely to lack logic. And although that might may not matter to you and people like you, it's going to matter to the people you're speaking to, for whom that is very significant. I'm not talking about being exactly illogical, but simply that the ordered progression of an argument and a point is not something that maybe works for you, but it does for other people. And so it's important that we understand where we are with that personally, and that we make allowances for it with our audiences. It's important to present at least some of your points with a logical framework. You'll serve your audience well in that way. Jesus was a great explainer when the situation called for it. For example, you could have a look at the lucky couple on the road to Emmaus. In Luke 24, verse 27, it says, "And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him." He started with Moses and the prophets, and he explained it, all the scriptures about him. So we see there that Jesus was doing some kind of logical argumentation. Being able to explain implies following a logical train of thought, I would say. Considering how logical our arguments are is also a defense against purely subjective interpretations of scripture, which we need to guard against. So that's our second point, logos. Thirdly, pathos. Rob says this: "It is from pathos that we get our words sympathy and empathy. Pathos is essentially an appeal to the heart, to the emotions." Now, some might say, isn't it dangerous to appeal to the emotions? Might people make a response based on feelings rather than facts? It's possible. Although, if you've done your proper work with your argument, with the logic, that shouldn't be too much of an issue in the end. There are times to appeal to emotion. When Jesus warned people, it didn't sound to me like there was no emotion involved. Think about the parable of the prodigal and the running of the father towards the son. I mean, if that's not an emotional picture, I don't know what is. Or, for example, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, Do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. There's some emotion in there, isn't there? I can't see the way Jesus could have said that without appealing to the emotions as a warning. So the key tools in utilizing pathos are illustrations, stories, and the use of pauses, having some silence from time to time. Now, these tools don't come naturally to you. If you're not a natural storyteller, teller of illustrations, or you find it difficult to time the right way to use pauses, it's okay. Just practice. Imitate those who do it well. Learn from them. Ask them how they do it. And just practice. And soon, it won't take you too long. Soon you'll be an excellent storyteller or user of an illustration or a utiliser of pauses. You can do it. I know you can. If I can, you certainly can. So to wrap up, the point of thinking through our utilization of pathos, ethos, and logos is to create the best conditions possible for us to connect with our audience. Again, remember this whole series is about connecting. A lack of connection almost always means we and our audience leave disappointed or uninspired or less edified than we could have been. So I sincerely hope that as you reflect on these points to do with what Aristotle described as the significant components of public speaking, of ethos, logos, and pathos, I hope as you think about it and reflect on it, you'll find at least one tip to help you to grow your sense of connection to the people you speak to. Finally, a question. Which of these three might apply most to you? Pathos, ethos, and logos. Which of the three might be, what might be the weaker area for you? If you were to pick one which you're not as competent as the others, which one would it be? And what could you do to improve that in the next talk you give? Might it be your introduction, stating or revealing your credibility to talk about the topic? Might it be your connection with the heart, the feelings? Or might it be the logical progression of your argument? Why not pick one of those and do some work on it for your next talk and see what difference it makes to you and your audience? Right, well, that will do for this week. Next week, we've got another one. But for now, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for being with me. If you have any comments, do drop them in the comment box below in the video, or you could email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can also contact me via the website, malcolmcox.org. If you haven't already done so, why not sign up for my newsletter there, and I'll send you my free ebook on spiritual disciplines. That's it. Well, until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care, and God bless.